So if you were here last week, you heard our students talk about hope, right? I don't know if you figured it out yet, but with Advent, there's a secret to Advent. When we talked about love, the answer was Jesus. When we talked about joy, the answer was Jesus. When we talked about hope last week, the answer was Jesus. And so this week we're going to talk about peace, and guess what the answer is? Jesus, right? Like, there's no surprise coming. So if you're like, well, I don't have much time, you already got the message. You can go home. You're fine. But the reality is that what we're going to talk about when it comes to peace, the answer is Jesus. And I don't know about you, but if you ever had a moment where you were given a gift in your life, and that gift led you to peace. So you were given something by somebody, and when you received it, you didn't realize the peace that would come from that gift. A number of years ago, my wife and I, way back before we had kiddos, we drove a Honda Accord. And I mean, it was like this, the Accords back then weren't nearly the size they are today. So it was much smaller, felt like a rally car. It was a stick shift, so I drove it like it was a rally car, you know, like it felt appropriate. But this interesting thing happened. I got married and I literally came to America with two suitcases, and a bag. That was it. That was all my belongings. And I met my wife, we got married, and when we left Bible school to come to Arizona, we filled this small hatchback full. Well, then we moved to the Accord, which was a little bit bigger than the hatchback. And guess what? We filled that when we went back to the missionary training we were doing. And wouldn't you know it, we added a kid. And all of a sudden, now we got a car top carrier, right? Because now we got to haul stuff. So this car was becoming increasingly smaller. And we knew that the place in the country we were going was known for freezing rain, was known for snow and just kind of harsher winters. And wouldn't you know it, that grandparents get a little nervous about what their grandkids drive around in. They don't care what you drive around in, just their grandkids, right? So we started, Coach knows. So we started having these conversations with my wife's family. And they started going, you need something a little bigger. I'm like, I don't think you realize we're missionaries. We have no money. And they're like, no, you need something bigger. You got to start looking. And I'm like, why would I look if I don't have money? So anyways, we started looking. And it wasn't long until we found this Ford Explorer, right? And this was back in the day when I thought Ford Explorers were still cool. You know, they were called Exploders and known to roll, you know, all that kind of good stuff. And so my father-in-law is like, you really need this. This would be better for you. And I'm like, I don't think you realize I don't have money. And then as the conversation went on, he goes, no, we want to gift this to you. And I got to tell you, like at the moment, it was like the greatest gift I'd ever been given, right? I thought I was the coolest guy on the planet with this new Ford Explorer. And what's fascinating about that is we didn't know at the time that we were moving to Canada. And we moved to Canada in the middle of the snow belt. And I cannot tell you how many times having a four-wheel drive option brought peace to me and my family. That as the husband and dad and protector, to have this vehicle that was able to make it through whiteouts was an absolute gift. And so this gift that was given way back here in Arizona, later in the middle of snowy Canada, brought immense peace. And I don't know about you, maybe it's finances for you, right? You had a moment in your life where you're like, I don't know how this turns out, and somebody just shows up. And they go, hey, I want to cover that, right? Or you have medical bills and whatever, and somehow, some way, God works it out. And all of a sudden, this peace overwhelms you. Or maybe you've had a hard conversation with your loved ones. And that hard conversation, while it was difficult in the moment, it was a gift that brought peace in relationships. And this idea of a gift that brings peace, it is embedded within the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. And the context here is that the angel has showed up and he goes, I got good news of great joy, right? There's a Savior born to you. And so those are the verses we read last week, right? There's this great joy that comes to you. And then in the next part in verse 13, Luke 2:13, it says, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Now, when we talk about peace, peace isn't what we often think it is, like in our culture. Peace in our culture is if I remove the conflict, then I have peace. No, a lot of times you just have quiet, right? If you remove the argument, you have quiet. You don't necessarily have peace. We often think that if I remove the busyness of the Christmas season, then I will have peace. No, you're just less busy and you'll figure out how to fill that time and make it busy. Ask somebody who's retired, right? I'm retiring. All right. You'll be busier than you were when you were working. It'll be great. It's funny how many of you are like, that's true. I don't want to retire now. You guys just killed it for me. But there's this beautiful part of this, right? Where this peace that's talked about is actually this shalom from Hebrew, right? And the idea of this peace is harmony holistically. And so you can put the word wholeness there. So this peace that it's talking about is this wholeness, and another way to say it would be when the world is as it should be. Well, how do you know how the world should be? Well, it's as God intended it to be. So what's on offer here is this wholeness, this shalom, this harmony. You know, I got to say it real quick. I don't know if I've ever preached with somebody in a Santa costume. That's amazing. Okay, sorry, ADD moment. But there's this beautiful moment of peace, right? Where this wholeness is being told by the angel. This is what the angel is excited about. That this wholeness, this shalom, this harmony has come. And the reality of that, it says how? On whom his favor rests. And there's the connection. You have a connection between grace and peace. And what's fascinating with grace and peace is grace has to do with a gift. That's what the word means, that it's a gift. And what's amazing with grace, you don't deserve it. What's amazing with grace, the point of grace is you can't earn it. If you earn it, it's no longer a gift. It's a wage. It's a transaction. But what's being said here is on whom his favor, on whom his grace. So all of humanity in this moment, right? Because that's the context. Great news, right? Or good news of great joy to who? All the people. And so in this moment, it's going, hey, on whom God's grace rests, there will be peace. And we find that as we go through the New Testament in Ephesians chapter one, Paul's writing to the church in Ephesus. And he greets them in a very common way for Paul. Chapter one, verse two, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. They're connected. And Paul knew this, right? And kind of the bigger picture of what Paul's getting at is peace is the end goal. So when he says peace here, the shalom of God, the world as it should be, the idea that things are back in harmony, everything's connected relationally, everything's connected back as God intended it to be. That's where this thing is heading is what Paul's saying. That what you get in this greeting is you go, hey, where this is going is that God is putting all things back together, that he's restoring it back, and there will be this wholeness, completeness to this. But the method that it comes is grace. The method that it comes to you is through grace. Maybe just pausing for a minute to connect some dots. That today, if you lack peace, look at grace. Because my best bet would be you haven't accepted the gift of grace, and that's why you're lacking peace. But instead, what do? Oh, well, I got to remove this, and I got to remove this, and I got to remove this, right? If I can remove the financial tensions in my life, I'll have peace. No, you won't. You'll just have a different bank account. Because according to Scripture, there's an order to this, right? It goes grace and then peace. You don't hear the New Testament writers go peace and grace. It's always grace and peace. Why? Because peace comes through grace. What is grace? Grace is when I receive. Wouldn't it be weird this Christmas if you're sitting around with your family and you bought your loved one, in my case, my spouse, I bought Cindy the perfect gift and I'm super excited for it. And I go to give her that gift and she takes out her wallet. I'd be offended. I don't know about you, but that would be a weird moment. And yet with God, what we often do when it comes to grace, instead of just receiving it, we're like, okay, God, what do I got to do to earn it? But you can't earn grace. And if you can't earn grace, then you can't earn peace. Because peace comes from grace. There's a flow to it. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul again writing says this, therefore, since we have been justified, since we have been set right, since we have been made right through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. So what Paul's getting at is, okay, you've been given peace, right? You've been given this harmony. You've been given this thing that puts everything back to how God originally wanted it. But here's what you got to catch. That was only available because of the source, who is Jesus. And to accept Jesus, the only way that you can accept Jesus is by grace. And so while Jesus is the source, right, and peace is the outcome, grace is the way that you get there. Grace is the way that I step in with Jesus. And some of you are going, John, I already know this. I know that. But how many of us struggle to live with this reality? That when it comes to peace in our life, it can only come through grace, because only grace can lead you to Jesus and only Jesus can lead you to peace. Why? Because back in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14, the context here is a conflict. The context here is the Jewish people and the Gentile people, and they do not like each other. In fact, the Jews hated the Gentiles. In fact, the Jews called them dogs. They didn't consider them human, right? They considered them outsiders. And so what had happened is when Jesus had showed up and Gentiles were now becoming family members because they were accepting Jesus, and you had Jews on the other side going, no, you need to keep all the laws. And so there was this conflict between the two. And so as Paul writes, listen to what he says. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and its regulations. So he's going, you need to hear, Jewish people, right? God has fully satisfied. God is fully satisfied in the sacrifice of Jesus. That Jesus has paid fully for that. And it carries on. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity, thus, out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. So he's saying on the cross, God removed what was between them. On the cross, the sin that was between us and God, he's using it as a picture, right? The sin between what was between us and God, Jesus put it on himself. He took it to the cross. He paid for it. Sin was removed. Why? So that there could be harmony. Just like Jesus carried the weight of the law and the regulations and all the have-tos and all the commands, he took it. He put it on the cross with him. He paid for it. He satisfied God. And because he satisfied God, now by grace, these two sides can be joined into one. There can be peace. Verse 14 started out with, for he himself, is our peace. For he himself is our peace. For Jesus to be your peace today, you only get there by grace. And you know the problem with grace? We have this thing called shame. We have this thing called striving. You know what's interesting with shame? It creeps up on you out of nowhere. I was sitting with my counselor recently, and I really do believe this, you guys. I think she saw it in our first session, and I don't know what session we're on now, but she's been waiting for me to be ready to receive this message, which is just amazing to me because I'm not that patient. I want to get in God's way, you know. I don't know about you, but I want to help people quicker than God's timetable. And so we're sitting there and we're talking about, and I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, but we're talking about like struggling with accepting God's delight and God's love, right? I can tell a room full of people, God loves you, God delights in you, and I believe every word of it. But when you tell it to me for some reason, I go, I just struggle to believe that. And she said, that's because you're struggling with shame. I said, okay, I'm going to need you to help me understand, when you say shame, what does that actually mean? And she goes, well, inherently, you believe that you're not enough. She goes, inherently, there's this thing within you that you always resort back to, and you go, I'm not enough, and I never will be. And see, here's what's interesting about shame. It creeps up out of nowhere. Like in this season, life's busy, right? Like Christmas is, you talk to anybody. How you doing? You ready for Christmas? Nope. You ready for Christmas? Nope. Got a busy week ahead, right? Everybody's in the same kind of driven whatever. And it can become easy in a season like this, if we're honest, right? You go out and you're busy doing stuff and then you remember, oh no, I got people coming to the house. And in a moment, you feel like a failure because your house isn't as clean and as perfect as you wanted it to be. And all of a sudden you start speaking shame to yourself, right? Like, I'm a failure. I can't keep up on life. Am I the only one that feels this way? Right? Like I remember getting married, and I remember when we got a house, and now I was responsible because I couldn't call a landlord. I was responsible to fix whatever happened in the house. Anybody else ever feel like, man, I feel like a failure as a husband. I feel like I'm not enough as a husband because I don't know how to fix a faucet. But what it's revealing in me is this deeper thing that's happening on the inside where shame begins to rule. And guess what happens when shame begins to rule? Striving increases. Hey, am I the only one that when it comes to this whole thing of shame that I can be in a room full of people and think they're amazing, and I'm sitting there going, I don't even deserve to be in this room. Am I the only one that struggles with moments of all I see is my failures? And you see, it's one thing to do it when someone sends you a Christmas card and their family looks perfect and you didn't even take a picture, you know? Or you went to, even worse, you went to take pictures and none of your kids would do what they're supposed to. And so you got a picture with one grumpy kid and you're trying to figure out, I need that Google phone that I can change your head, you know? But they send you Christmas cards to let you know they're thinking of you and love you, and all you feel is, we didn't do ours. And it's one thing to do it with things like that. It's another thing to do it with God. I mean, am I the only one that gets stuck in that same failure? And I'm like, God, I'm just never going to get it. God, I struggle with the same things. I'm never going to be enough. I'm always going to. Anybody else speak lies to themselves? Right? All it's just part of human nature. It's part of our fall. Like we go to God and God's looking at us as a son, and all we can see is how inadequate I am and how much I don't deserve what you have given. That's why it's called grace. That's why when God looks at you, he looks at the source, which is Jesus, and he looks at you, and you need to know today you are enough. Why? Because Jesus is enough. And what happens is that when I understand that Jesus is enough, what I can actually do is let go and receive grace. The best news you could ever have is that you aren't enough in and of yourself, which is why you needed a Savior in the first place, which is why Christmas matters. But you will never have peace in your soul if you cannot accept by grace what Jesus has done for you. Because if you continue to strive and continue to work and you continue to, I'll just be better this time. No, you won't. All I can be better in is resting in what he has done for me and what he has given me. And that's why it's called grace. Because you can't do it. And what he does in those moments is you receive grace, and grace leads you to peace. We think it's the other way around. I just work hard enough. I'm just good enough. I just get far enough ahead. I just climb enough steps on this ladder. And all of a sudden, God looks at me and goes, ooh, look at you. Wow, you've improved. Come along. That's not the gospel. That is not what Christmas is. Christmas is we were the shepherds. We're the ones on the hill on the outside. Everybody else is on the inside. And God goes, I removed the wall of hostility. And I took the end of that passage says, I preached to those that were near, those who thought they were insiders. And I preached to those who were outside, who were far away. I preached to both of them. And guess what I preached? Peace. And how does peace come through Jesus? So I got news for you. If you grew up in church and you think you're all religious and you think, man, I got a heritage and I'm something, I need to tell you, you think you're near? Jesus came and preached the same message to you that he preached to this person over here who knew they were far away. And the message is the same, that through grace, through you receiving the free gift of Jesus, you will have peace. And no other way. There's no other way. There's no other way. So you removing the argument between you and your spouse, that doesn't bring peace. In the Middle East, you know what's fascinating? They could stop fighting today. It doesn't bring peace. The only thing that brings peace is Jesus. You want peace in your marriage? Put Jesus in it. You want your relationships, and that's what he's talking about here, right? The context is relationships. It's to one another. That if we want peace with one another, then guess what? We need a whole lot of Jesus between us. Because when I'm surrounded by Jesus and you're surrounded by Jesus and by grace we're accepting and receiving, guess what will be between us? There will be peace because he removes the hostility, not me. Your financial peace is not determined by a number. Your financial peace is determined by a God who makes things whole. What if your financial situation is really trying to lead you back to accept grace? Because by accepting grace, you'll find peace. It's how it works. It's how it's always worked. That a gift that you were given, like a Ford Explorer, who thought? That by giving a gift where you could touch a button and four-wheel drive would kick on, it would give you peace in the moments when you shouldn't have peace because the road was unstable. That in the moments when I receive grace, because that's all you can do with grace, by the way, that I go to the source and I receive grace that I can have peace this Christmas. One more verse, we're done. Second Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. Now, may the Lord of peace, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all. What is Christmas? Emmanuel, God with us. Because we have God, we have peace. Church family, may you, in this next week, may you experience peace like you never have before. Because you stop striving and you stop working and you stop believing the lies. And by grace, you just go, I accept. I find rest. I find hope. I find joy. And I know I'm loved. Because God showed up to declare he is with us in that first Christmas. God, we come before you this morning. God, thank you for loving us. God, thank you for Christmas and the reminder that God, through you and you alone, there is hope, there is joy, there is love this Christmas. And God, there is peace that comes through grace. I pray over our church family. I pray over Park Collective today. I pray over this room here. I pray over our other services, God, that we would today just simply receive the good news of this living hope that we have. God, as we use our mouths and we use our breath, the breath given by you, and we give it back to you in worship, God, would you remind us of gifts that have brought peace? Would you allow us to see Jesus as the giver, the source of peace? Would you remind us of this hope, this living hope we have, that peace is real, that harmony in the world as you intended it to be can be our reality here and now. And so God, we just say thank you. Thank you for that first Christmas. Thank you for showing up on our behalf. Thank you for walking the long road to a cross. Thank you for your death, your burial, and your resurrection. And thank you for a future that is home with you. Thank you for loving us first. We are grateful people. And everybody said, amen.